grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe. From the rising of the sun to its setting, your name is proclaimed in all the world. Welcome to this act of worship for the third Sunday of Epiphany, when we continue to reflect on how God in Jesus reveals his glory and goodness to us. Let us pray. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Some words from Psalm 128. Happy are they who fear the Lord and who follow in his ways. Whoever fears the Lord shall thus indeed be blessed. The Lord bless you from Zion, and may you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you live to see your children's children. May peace be upon Israel. God of wonders, at Cana in Galilee, you revealed your glory in Jesus Christ and summoned all humanity to life in him. Show to your people your transforming power and give us a foretaste of the wine you keep for us for the age to come. We make this our prayer through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God for ever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
trusting in the promises of the Lord. Let us pray in peace and faith. Almighty God, whose Son revealed in signs and miracles the wonder of your saving presence, renew your people with your heavenly grace, and in all our weakness sustain us by your mighty power. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Revelation. Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of mighty thunder peals, crying out, Alleluia! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. To her it has been granted to be clothed with fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And the angel said to me, Write this. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are true words of God. Then I fell down at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, You must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your comrades who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, alleluia. Christ was revealed in flesh, proclaimed among the nations, and believed in throughout the world. Alleluia. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, They have no wine. And Jesus said to her, Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, Do whatever he tells you. Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, Fill the jars with water. And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward. So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory. And his disciples believed in him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I pray that I may speak in the name of the living God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I imagine if I was to ask you to name a miracle in the gospel stories of Jesus' life, the account of the water being turned into wine at the wedding in Cana would feature quite near the top of the list. It's an event in Jesus' life that is quickly associated with what we know of his earthly ministry. Quite literally, a good news story, where God's presence and power were seen and felt tangibly in a physical and recognised way. Jesus doing an exciting thing to the bafflement of the fellow wedding guests. It's always, I find, a really joyous story to share with children when leading collective worship, whose simplicity of faith and seeming amazement at what happens locates us firmly in how the evangelist, John, wished the story to be understood. A miracle that intentionally frames for us the gospel writer's intention to show us who Jesus was and is, and most importantly, what his life and death and rising again teaches us about God's involvement in the world and in each of our lives. If we look at the Gospel of John as a whole, we find that although we're familiar with the story of the wedding at Cana, those six large stone water jars of water being transformed into an overflowing quantity of superior tasting wine, there is actually another mention of Cana later on in John's account. Towards the end of what we now know as chapter 4 of the Gospel, we are told that after his visit to Jerusalem, and then his excursion into non-Jewish Samaritan territory, Jesus returns to his native Galilee and to the town of Cana, explicitly referred to as the place where he had turned water into wine. It's an arrival that isn't unimportant, and rather leads on to Jesus being called upon to heal the son of a local royal official whose illness has brought him close to death. For some biblical scholars, this geographical connection between Jesus' two visits to Cana are important. Not only because what Jesus does there reveals to the reader his identity as Son of God, the one in whom we see the Lord's love and grace made visible, but rather because both events are surrounded by accounts of Jesus' encounters with individuals from both within and beyond Israel. A prompt to us that in journeying with Christ, we are always being led deeper and deeper into our knowledge and awareness of the divine. The God in whom we glimpse not just the signs, but the ultimate source of goodness and mercy. In this season of Epiphany, such stories of self-revelation are important as we seek to comprehend more fully the beautiful meaning of what the Christmas story, Christ's incarnation, means for us. A message that isn't hidden, but rather openly disclosed, in the visit of the Magi to Bethlehem, in the baptism of Jesus by John in the River Jordan, by the invitation of Christ's first disciples to come and see, and today in the water made wine at the wedding banquet of Cana. There is always light in the darkness, and such gospel stories remind us to remember how that light has dawned in Jesus, in whose loving presence we are invited to abide. The significance, then, of the miracle at Cana isn't intended to make us wonder how on earth Jesus turned 120 gallons of water into wine, but rather to focus our attention on what the story tells us about the God whom we worship and follow. Our task, in being reminded of what Christ said and did, is to allow our eyes to be opened, to get inside the miracle, and so to appreciate with fresh insight the same truth that impelled the gospel writer to share the story with some of the first Christian disciples all those years ago. So that, in reading and hopefully understanding, just like those early followers of Jesus, our own faith and trust in him might be ignited, confirmed, and strengthened. With all this in mind, it's striking to note that John's account tells us that Jesus' visit to Cana happened on the third day. A clue that the story is intended to have a bigger meaning than the facts it presents us with. In the same way that Jesus' resurrection, 3 days after his crucifixion and burial, brings the renewal of all things, so the events at Cana, on the third day, will anticipate the new creation that Christ comes to bring. From the very beginning, the reader is invited to expect transformation, that somehow Jesus' actions will help us to understand with greater clarity what God has done, if only we have eyes to see. This comes to fruition in what happens as we discover from Mary, Jesus' mother, that somehow the wine acquired for the marriage celebration has already run out. Though we don't know very much about what weddings looked like in first century Palestine, it's likely that the festivities would have continued for a number of days. And so to fail in offering hospitality ran the risk of causing great offence. A predicament which sets the scene for the miraculous provision that is to follow. Not only as a demonstration of Jesus' authority, but in the superabundance of what flows as Jesus' actions allow the wedding feast to continue. We can perhaps imagine the incredulity of the servants, despite being told by Mary to do whatever he tells you, as they are asked to put to use those 6 stone water jars by filling them with water. And then their shared disbelief and amazement as the steward draws the water and finds that it is in fact wine, far better than which the guests had already drunk. Such generosity, as the chief steward's words declare, doesn't make any sense. Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now. A statement that reminds us that miracles aren't performed as ways of reinforcing the somber reality of how things are in the here and now, but are rather windows into God's very character, wherein lavish joy and unrestricted bountifulness, we see the topsy-turvy nature of God's kingdom. In the water made wine, there is an evident newness to what Jesus is doing. Such things aren't usual or expected, and so don't conform easily to our expectations or our tendency to restrict our hopefulness in what God can accomplish. In this, it's telling that despite Jesus' very public action in ensuring the marriage banquet could continue, knowledge of the miracle isn't openly disclosed. The Gospel writer telling us that only the servants know where the good wine has come from, who together with the disciples come to believe that in Jesus there is something worth discovering and someone worth following. If we are to understand the meaning of the miracle, we need to look beyond simply just how things appear and allow our hearts to be warmed, enabling God's love to mould us and shape us into the people he calls us to be. A people who find in his Son evidence of his glory, and so are enabled to walk in the newness of life he came to bring. As we look into the coming weeks and months, and the continued progress of the vaccination programme, and with it, we hope, the gradual return to brighter and safer days, that message of transformation will be more important than ever. In our lives, we will have opportunities to live out with renewed appreciation the faith we proclaim, having faith to discern and declare God's presence in the sometimes hidden and easily passed over aspects of life. Whilst in our wider society, as the course of the pandemic has exposed the disgrace of so many inequalities which can be easy to ignore, there will be need for a prophetic witness and honest commitment in refusing to return to how things once were, and working instead for a transformative agenda of how things should be. Such a response will demand something of us all. Trusting that the God whose Son changed water into wine will equally renew us, and so use us as bearers and sharers of his glory in all that is to be. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we bring our prayers and concerns for the church and the world in the sure knowledge that you are present with us. Let us pray. Lord, we pray for all those who demonstrate the love of God in our community and reach out to those struggling in these difficult times. We bring to you our wider church as we look for leadership and strengthening faith. We pray for our bishops James and Emma, for Andrew as he ministers to us in these unpredictable times, our wardens, and for all those who quietly demonstrate their love of God in so many ways to continue to bring us close in faith, serving, listening, and loving. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we pray for continued blessings on your faithful servant and our Sovereign Lady, Queen Elizabeth, Prince Philip and the Royal Family. We pray for those in authority in our government, that they show wise judgment in dealing with the pandemic, that they continue to have the strength and fortitude to face so many challenges day by day. May the rollout of the vaccine bring us renewed hope of a lessening of the virus. We pray that world leaders may be refocused on what is of lasting value, that in humility they may seek to make a better world. May they have the courage to challenge injustice, to battle on behalf of the oppressed, carry the burdens of those who are weighed down, and realise their responsibilities for the care of our increasingly fragile world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, there are times when we ask why, when we are confronted by sorrow and loss, illness, heartache, stress, or a sense of hopelessness. When we look at your fractured world and see torment and famine, civil unrest, and those dispossessed who are forced to flee their homes. When we ask ourselves when we will see our friends and family again, when will we be vaccinated? When can we meet together again? Lord, when we ask why, teach us patience. Teach us to seek to care for those who cannot care for themselves. Refresh our spirits, and in your message of love, instill in us your grace and peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all those who are in pain, for the anxious, for those in isolation who cannot go about their daily lives, for those who cry out in the darkness, and for those suffering with COVID and illness who will be worried about their health. As the fabric of life seems so fragile, we put our hope in your infinite goodness, in the knowledge that you are beside us every day. Walk with those who are suffering poverty, mental health issues, loneliness, loss of employment, or mourning the loss of a loved one. Those waiting for delayed operations or treatment, and those who mourn. Be our strength and shield in the weeks and months. In a moment of silence, we bring to you those known to us and in our hearts who need our prayers, that your light shine upon them and bring them peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And this is a Mother's Union prayer for the NHS. God of health and healing, we pray for those who work in the NHS and in the vital health services across the world. We ask for protection from the effects of the virus and a lifting of exhaustion as they continue to deal with the ongoing challenges of the global pandemic. May their efforts and sacrifices be valued by all, whether a patient or a grateful community. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As we love one another, may we grow in the love of God. As we give ourselves to each other, God gives himself to us. As we share our lives together, God shares his life with us. Let his love encircle our love and his life fill our lives, so that we are bound together and one with him. Give us joy, Lord. Give us your peace. Give us your hope. And lighten our darkness today and forevermore. Heavenly Father, source of all life, we ask you to hear the prayers that we offer in faith through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Remembering the Lord's presence with us, we gather up all our prayers, uniting them in the prayer that Jesus himself has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
unto the Lord's mercy and protection we commit you. Christ our Lord, to whom kings bowed down in worship and offered gifts, reveal to you his presence and glory, and pour upon you the riches of his grace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest, remain, and abide with you, with those whom you love and those whom you pray for, today and always. Amen. Rejoicing together in God's glory, let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you.